Due to the law of supply and demand, buying a house in Wisconsin has become a very competitive endeavor these days. In this special housing edition of On Your Money, we will look at what's driving the state's housing market, and we will welcome your questions and your experiences in buying and selling a home. Are you in or on the market right now? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Our regular financial planner, Kevin McKinley, is off this week, so we have found another expert on a specific topic that certainly affects your pocketbook. Our guest will have tips on helping potential buyers get a leg up on the competition and some advice for sellers to get the best price for their home. And again, we'd love to hear your questions and your experiences. Have you been on the market recently? Did you sell your home? Did you? What was that like? Were you amazed by the response? Or maybe you're in the market and you're a little frustrated because you're having a hard time finding a home for the price you want. Or it's so competitive that some homes are being sold before they have their first open houses, for example. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Tina Balaka, Sales Director of Shore West Realtors South Metro Office and the former chairwoman of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. Good morning. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
So how competitive would you describe the housing market today?
Well, I like to say it's kind of like the wild, wild west right now. There was a time we called it the Death Valley when we were going through the recession, but in real estate, it's extremely competitive, and particularly for buyers right now. So with the tight inventory we're having, we're seeing buyers really have to compete in order to get an accepted offer on a property that they love.
Yeah. So is this something you're in the Milwaukee area? Is this just in Milwaukee and the cities, or is this pretty much a statewide phenomenon?
It's primarily in urban areas, but as you do go throughout the state, we are seeing it a little bit everywhere. So overall, we're from a balanced to what we call a seller's market, where there's that lack of inventory that we're seeing. But overall, the housing in the Wisconsin area is fantastic.
Yeah. The Wisconsin Realtors Association said first quarter sales of existing homes hit a 12-year high, at least a 12-year high. Meanwhile, prices continue to increase. The median sales price is close to $160,000. So I guess why is this happening?
It is due to the tightened inventory. We have more buyers that are looking in the market for a home right now. And this is because of low interest rates. Housing is very affordable. It's in some areas, it can be more affordable to own a home than it may be to rent. And that's what's causing a lot of this interest in purchasing a property right now. On the flip side, we don't have enough sellers. There's a lot of individuals that are hanging tight in their home, or depending on when they purchase their home. I know for myself, one of the properties that I had purchased was in 2005, and then I rode that roller coaster of the recession, and pricing is still on its upward swing. But depending on the equity someone may or may not have in their home can cause a little bit of a stall. And then you have individuals that they may want to sell, but where are they going to go? It's so competitive. I can't find the house that I want to buy or that I need to buy. So it's causing a little bit of a stall then for inventory to come to the market. But there are definitely more buyers than we have sellers.
Yeah. Is this affecting primarily entry-level homes, or is it affecting, you know, condos and McMansions and everything?
It's interesting. It's a little bit of everything. The first-time home buyer market is extremely competitive because that's your most affordable housing right now, and that's where we're seeing the pricing go up. So at one time, you might be able to get something between, you know, in our area, around the $150,000, and now that new entry buyer has almost ticked up to $175,000. So it's changing But we're seeing it all over because we have individuals, depending on when they did purchase their home, if they had to wait until they had equity, but now they're outgrowing their home and they need more space if their family is growing. So there's that need then for that second home, potentially, that move-up buyer. And so there's that market that's pretty tight. And then you have individuals that may be looking to downsize from a home that's now too large for them, and they want to go into a condo. So the condo market has become quite competitive as well. So it's interesting because it is all around, even vacant land. There's the opportunity now for individuals to build, as that's becoming another option, but it's finding land to build. So in so many different areas, it seems to be consistent with a lack of inventory.
Our guest is Tina Balaka. She is sales director of Shore West Realtors South Metro Office, a former chairwoman of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. And this is a housing market-focused edition of On Your Money. We would love to hear from you if you have some recent experience in the housing market, whether you were trying to buy or sell a home. How successful were you? Are you still looking? Do you have any questions? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or even tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I was going to relay the experience of my niece in Madison just within the last couple of months. She and her fiance were looking for an entry-level home, and as you described, the price is about where you were, and I was kind of shocked at that it was $275,000 or even more to get a first-time home. In any case, open houses were being canceled because homes were being sold before they were, they even had the open house. And it was just super frustrating for this young couple to try to find something. They were eventually successful, but they did have to put in an offer that was well above asking price even.
That is a very common theme right now. It's very interesting because I'll get requests from agents, can we cancel this open house because we already got an offer?
Yeah.
And that's the pace that we're at. And it appears buyers have to have their running shoes on. If you're thinking about buying a home, you almost have to consider this like a part-time job because the amount of time that you need to get to the properties quickly, and then you might not get the first house you like. It could be the second, third, or fourth offer that you write on before you actually get the house. And there are several buyers that are all doing the same thing, so you are competing. It seems you have to be one of the first ones at a house. If you like it, write an offer. But you have to be prepared, and you have to have your pre-approval letter. You have to have your finances in order. So that way, when you submit your offer, you have that pre-approval letter that says, yes, I'm ready to go, I'm qualified. And sometimes maybe even submitting a personal letter that shares, what did you love about this house? Why you would be so happy to be able to purchase it and to continue on what that seller maybe have done to the property.
Oh, so that little personal touch might tempt the buyer to go with your offer over someone else.
Correct.
Oh,
anything that we can do to help tip the scale, because so many offers are coming in, good. They're great. They're beautiful offers. And a seller looks at all these and it's very hard to decide at times, and it can be overwhelming. So that's anything that a buyer can do to have just a little extra leg up, make them appear to be a little bit more personable when it comes to that, can make that little difference to help them get that offer accepted.
Yeah, I'm wondering, when you say be pre-approved, let's say you're pre-approved for $250,000. But then in order to get the house you want, you have to go up to $260,000. That makes it a little harder, doesn't it?
It does. So that's where you may have to really work with whoever you are getting your loan with. Do you need to have more money down? Do you have some flexibility? Is your pre-approval letter at your cap? If it really absolutely is your cap, then you maybe need to look at homes that could be a little bit less. So that way you have that ability to compete if you had to go up a little bit higher.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Paul in Greendale. Hi, Paul.
Hi, just wanted to comment. We're a childless couple who have what you would call a starter home. We've had it for years. Went out into the market to look for something bigger, and we've experienced exactly what you're talking about. We have a line of credit, no contingencies, ready to go, and it took nearly 2 months to even get to walk through a house because houses are selling so fast. We had an experience where one went up on the market at 2:30 in the morning and had an accepted offer by 8:30 that same morning.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah, we've pretty much given up for now. We're going to let this market hopefully cool down if it does. But you're right. It is nearly a part-time job. You look 3 or 4 times a day online and just see what comes up.
And a house goes on the market at 2:30 in the morning and is sold by 8:30 in the morning. Tina, that's crazy.
And it's happening. It's really blown my mind. I've been doing this for 15 years. This is the most competitive market I have ever seen in real estate. And it's challenging because everyone's working so much harder, and we love what we do, but we hate disappointing buyers when they don't get that house and we have to start all over again. So there's that emotional roller coaster that comes with it. And to that caller's point, I know the frustration. We see it all the time, and it's trying to come up with, well, what's a strategy that we can do? What can help us to bridge that gap so that the next person can buy that home? And with real estate agents and realtors, we're trying to network as much as possible. What do we know? What's coming on the market? How can we help each other out and get that word out that we have a property that's coming up? Line up your buyers, get them ready. This is the city it's going to be in, and we start networking right away.
Well, so Paul and his family are going to give up for a while and let this hot market cool off. Is that an option for some?
It may be an option to just wait and see what happens, see if things simmer down a little bit. Spring has always traditionally been the highest peak time in real estate. So maybe by fall, we'll see what happens. There was a survey that was recently done by the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors that surveyed real estate agents to see what are they predicting maybe for the rest of the year. Do we still see continued tightened inventory? Do we anticipate pricing going up? And overwhelmingly, it was based on what we're experiencing right now, we do think we'll still see some tightened inventory for the rest of the year, and we do see prices continuing to go up. Depending on the area of the state, it could be more or less, but overall, the prices are going up.
Tina Balaka is our guest. She is the former chairwoman of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors, and we are talking about the real estate market, the housing market, and what is being called a very hot market, and it's a seller's market. Sellers have the advantage here, and we're wondering if you're experiencing this, or if you have any questions, whether you are trying to buy a home or whether you're trying to sell a home. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to On Your Money on the Ideas Network.
Escaping home, where my music's playing home, where my love lies waiting silently for
This is a housing edition of On Your Money. I'm Joy Cardine. Kevin McKinley is off this week. Tina Balaka, who is the former chair of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors and is the sales director for Shore West Realtors South Metro office, is our guest. And she is here talking about the very competitive housing market today. And she will answer your questions and give you some tips to help potential buyers get a leg up on the competition, and she also has advice for sellers to get the best price for their home. And we welcome your questions and your experiences. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's go back to the phones. Melody in Fenimore is with us. Hi, Melody.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Very good. You got to buy a home, huh?
Well, actually, this is my fourth, and I actually bought it outright. And the way that I've been able to do that is, you know, I buy something that needs repair, that, you know, has good structure, has good bones, and then do the work myself. Now I'm in my 50s, so this is hopefully my last buy. But one thing that I wanted to add is that I was on the lending end of home purchase and stuff, and I don't recommend to any first-time home buyers to go up to their, if they have a $250,000 cap, stick around the $200,000 if they can, because it leaves you very little money, and there's always something that needs to be done. There's always something that goes wrong. There's always something that they're going to need 10 grand or 15 grand, and it's in it, it. They need to just keep themselves flush and not go to the cap of what they've been approved for. I just don't want, you know, it's really difficult to see that. And getting a home loan, there's a lot of money up front that they have to. The home that I purchased in Montana, I had to get a structural engineer in, and that was $900 just to purchase a rental home there. It was, I had to have at least, what was it, $2,200 up front?
Yeah, so you need money to get all the, I don't know, inspections and such done. Tina, would you agree with that advice to not, especially first-time home buyers, to not be looking at the top of their budget?
I would. I think that's very great advice, and thank you, Melody, for bringing that up, because there are unexpected things that may occur, even if you have a home inspection, and we always recommend have an inspection on a property. In this competitive time, some buyers are weighing out, well, should I ask for this or should I ask for that? There are certain things that you have to decide are what are most important to you. But an inspection, when you bring in the inspector, they're going to look at the property to find out, are there any defects? Are there any red flags? What are you actually purchasing with this property? And most inspections can run anywhere from $350 to $450. Then a buyer may want to have some additional testing done. And in an instance that Melody had mentioned, where they had to bring in a structural engineer, that may happen. There may be a red flag that says, hey, there's some cracking here in the basement. We recommend that you bring in a structural engineer. And if you love this house, you may want to make that investment to have further investigation of the property and then try to negotiate perhaps something with the seller depending on what the repair may or may not be.
Should first-time buyers be thinking about a fixer-upper more than a move-in-ready home?
You have to be ready for it. So if you are considering that, do your research. Know what it is that you're walking into and what to expect. It seems glamorous on HGTV as far as buying a house and flipping it and fixing it.
I would never be able to do that.
It's so much work. It's really a lot of work. So you have to know, am I handy? Are there things that I can do myself? Maybe more painting and some minor projects. You always want to hire a professional for your major things, plumbing, electrical, structural, rough. So what is your level of skill? What can you tackle and what can you hand on? And then what is in your budget to pay for contractors? But it's a great way to build equity. And I think sometimes buyers overlook the fixer-upper because they just want to buy the finished product, move in, and start enjoying it. But if you have that ability to buy the fixer-upper, you're building sweat equity, you don't have to do everything all at once. You can decide, okay, what projects am I going to do this year? What are the things that have to happen? And then each year you're tacking on another new project and really making it your own.
Right. Well, Tina, let's say that somebody is in the market for a new home. They really want to buy a new home. They don't want to wait because of some, they're moving to a new town or something. They really don't have the choice. They have to find a new home. How do you go about that when homes are selling before the open house even happens? Or, you know, a house goes on the market at 2:30 in the morning, then it's sold by 8:30 in the morning. How can you get first word of properties that might be in, you know, for you?
I would recommend, and maybe I'm a little partial, but I would talk to a realtor. One, a realtor is going to be able to educate you on what's happening in the particular communities that you're looking in. What are prices going for? What's typical? Because every neighborhood in every area might be a little bit different. So you want to have an expert. What do they know? And is this what they do full time? So that way they are not distracted with the thing. This is what the real estate agent does full time. They know the ins and the outs. They know what potential properties could be coming up. And do they have the ability to network with other real estate agents?
because we all work together. And so if you can be one of the first ones to a property and have a lead on it, that's really critical. Sometimes waiting for the property to go online is almost too late.
Yeah, I was going to say that I've noticed, of all things, on a neighborhood email site that people are posting on there, hey, I have a neighbor who's thinking of putting their house up for sale next month, and you know they're taking, and they're like taking names and numbers from people like that way before
right.
it even was official.
And that's happening too. Social media has really created the need to get news out quickly and fast with Facebook Live and all kinds of different ways to get information out there. So it's having your hand in a little bit of everything to help get to that property quickly.
What about, I know a lot of people are using the website Zillow or similar sites. Any thoughts on looking there? Do you think that people can find property that way?
What's interesting about any of the real estate sites that are out there is having the information that's up to date. Because what's happened is a lot of sites are there to market properties, but they have to keep the information up to date and what's really happening. So, for example, there might be a buyer that contacts an agent or contacts a homeowner to find out about the property, but it could already have an accepted offer on it. And so you want to make sure that wherever site you're going to has the correct information. But it is helpful as far as getting a feel for what's happening in the market, getting the pictures of the properties and learning a little bit more about it. But you want to make sure you're getting the right information at all times when it comes to going online first. Is this the clear picture? Is this the full picture of what's really happening?
Mary in Peshtigo is with us. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, what's your experience been? You're trying to buy a house?
Yeah, I went on an auction, and they were told me before the auction that there was no reserve, and I was a high bidder. And so the auctioneer had me pay the money down, the earnest money, and I did that. And then we didn't hear anything for 2 weeks, and after 2 weeks I called him, and he said, nope, they won't accept that offer. He said, if you add $25,000 to it, they might, you know, take that. But they never told us what the people wanted for it, actually, or anything. So we added the $25,000, and then they still wouldn't take that. So in the end, we ended up losing the house. You know, we'd even gone up $5,000 more than that.
No.
But
so,
that,
I mean, apparently, I know, who knows the specifics or the particulars, but it sounds like this owner of this house that went up for auction wanted and probably could get more money, Tina?
Potentially so, and in our market we don't do a lot with auctions, but from what I've heard, it's not always so easy, cut and dry, like, yes, I'm not top bidder, and that's it. It depends on the details behind that particular auction, and sometimes there's reading between the lines of a particular contract to know what's all involved. Sometimes it's not, it just starts the bidding, and then they continue negotiations afterwards. So you have to really know if you're going to bid on an auction, what are all the ins and outs of that particular one. There are some online auctions, for example, some foreclosures. We still have foreclosures in our marketplace from time to time, and there are online auctions. So each one is a little bit different. So if you're doing a live auction, it could be different than online. So you really have to know the ins and the outs if you're going to attempt to go into that kind of situation.
Yeah, you know, another experience from my niece's home buying adventure. I had never heard of this. I guess I just don't buy homes that often. But somebody else had put in an offer on another home that was going to be, it had some sort of contingency on it, not a contingency, but a mechanism that whatever anybody else offered, they were going to up their offer. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Exactly. It's called the accelerator clause.
That's it. The accelerator
yes.
clause. Yeah.
We are seeing those. It is so commonplace right now that it's almost losing the impact it has, because you could have five offers all using accelerator clauses, and they're all starting to compete with one another. But what that does, in essence, is saying, for example, I'll pay $250,000 for your house, but I'll go up $1,000 over a competing offer, but my max will be $260,000. So then if there's an offer that comes in at $255,000, I can now pay $256,000 if the seller will accept my offer and will kick in the accelerator clause. So you have to know what it really means and understand it, and do the real estate agents and do the sellers, does everyone have a full comprehension of it? Because for a few of our sellers that maybe receive these offers, it can be a little overwhelming. So you have to know, who's the person who's going to receive this offer? Are they going to appreciate something like this? Is this going to help them, or could it hurt me? Because in some instances, it could be detrimental if the seller is just completely overwhelmed and they'll just take one offer. In some situations, it may be best to just do your highest and best offer. But it's a strategy, and you have to know what's going to work for that particular seller. So if you can communicate with the seller, either on your own, if you're doing it on your own, or if you're using a real estate agent, have your real estate agent call the other real estate agent. Find what's important to the seller. Is timing important? For example, does the seller need some extra time to stay in their home after closing for a few weeks until they are going to their next property? Are there other ways you can make your offer attractive? It's not always about price. It's about the overall picture, because we've had sellers that may take a little bit less because there were other pieces in the offer that were more attractive than another.
Oh, that's interesting. So, here, you know, we've been talking a lot about the seller. Now let's talk about, the buyer. Now let's talk about the seller. Jennifer emails, we have been trying to sell our house in Racine for about 3 months now. There are multiple showings each week. The price has been deemed fair, but we get no feedback on why people are passing on it. We have a tight budget and probably can't afford staging costs. Do you have any advice for a struggling seller? So I guess there can be, neighborhoods or communities where it's hard to sell a home, right?
That is true. You're always going to see a little bit of everything. And for the seller who's having a challenge right now, what I would recommend is look at your home from a buyer's perspective. And even if you can't afford a professional stager, what are some things that you could potentially do to enhance the appearance of the property, enhance the condition? So what I mean by that is start with the outside and work your way in. What's your curb appeal like? Right now we're in the spring season heading into summer. Do you have the potted plants out front? Do you have a nice welcome mat? Is the grass cut and trimmed really nicely? Are the shrubs and the bushes trimmed down? Do you have fresh mulch? You have to have a really good outside, warm, inviting first impression in order to get that buyer through the door. I would also want to know if there's professional photos. I see this as a mistake a lot in real estate, where there's not professional photography taken of a property. If you don't have professional photos, you are missing an opportunity, because buyers start online almost 90% of the time. And so that's their first impression as well, as online. So you have to have really great photography. And then once you go inside the home, are there little things that you can do? Does the house need a fresh coat of paint? Paint doesn't cost a whole lot. And if someone's on a tight budget, can they do it themselves? Or can they rally some friends together to maybe help them get a fresh coat of paint on the house? Is it decluttered? Is it depersonalized? There are some things that, when I walk through homes, that I see mistakes being made. Buyers can get distracted with stuff. They can get distracted with seeing your personal photos of the whole family and the property. So you have to depersonalize and declutter a home. And that doesn't cost anything. That's really the effort and taking the time, taking maybe a weekend to really clear out the house and what can I do to make the house look different? Do I need to rearrange my furniture to have a better flow? Things like that can help, that don't really cost much of anything. It's more time, effort, and energy to give the house a little bit of a facelift, give it a fresh look.
Do I have to get rid of my cat's litter box?
Yes, please. I know the cat will not appreciate it, but put it in a discreet location. Is there, an area under a desk that maybe you can put a little curtain in front of it. We have to be discreet about these things. Odors can deter buyers between pet odors, smoke, or even if you were cooking dinner and you made fish and now you're having a showing. I mean, it's probably not the best thing to cook before someone's coming over. But you have to look at all of those things. And maybe it's having a trusted friend or advisor or a real estate agent to come by and say, you know, give me your unbiased opinion. Come through my house. Tell me. You cannot be offended. You cannot be offended on what someone's going to say. They're there to help you and to give you the best advice.
And once you do all this too, or maybe you're doing this with the advice of a realtor, is it the realtor and the home seller who are determining how much that home is worth?
It is a partnership. So the realtor's job is to provide the market information, what's happening in the market. This is the pricing, and they'll generally provide a range. The seller at the end of the day is the one that determines the price. But they work together. And when a property hits, say, for example, the multiple listing service, when it goes out online, that's the testing the market. If you've priced it well, generally you're getting the showings and you get an offer right away. Sometimes it's not always price, sometimes it can be condition and the way that it's being marketed. So that's why you have to look at a little bit of everything when it comes to that, but you have to work with your real estate agent, making sure, am I priced appropriately for the area? What are other homes selling for? And I know when I was selling, I would have a seller, I would set them up on a search. So that way, every property that came up on the market, they saw what their competition was. Every time a property sold, they got that information as well, because they need to be educated. It's not just put it on the market and that's it. Every single week, they should be getting an update. What's happening in the market? What's happening in the area? What's the competition, and how can they be better positioned to sell their home?
Stacy in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Stacy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I are planning on building this year, and the house that we own and live in now sits on 48 acres. And we've heard different things from people as to whether we're going to be able to find a buyer that's willing to buy our house plus the acreage, or if we should split it up and try to sell a couple lots along with the house and the acreage. And I was just wondering if you have any advice on that.
That's a really great question, and I would probably have to defer to the realtors in that particular area and what's more beneficial. And a couple things to consider is building prominent right now in that area where it would be beneficial to create a couple of lots and sell those off? What's the need right now in that area? If the need is for building and for lots, then it may make sense to divide that up a little bit. However, there could be that particular buyer that would love that amount of land and to have that as their own paradise. So it really is honing in on what could be the potential need for that and then making a plan accordingly. It could be testing the market one way and then reacting if it's not working. Maybe it's testing it out the way that it is, put it out onto the market, see what the reaction is, and if it's not getting an offer, then maybe it's going to plan B. So maybe having some flexibility in there and determining what could be the best option.
Thanks, Stacy, for the call. We are talking with Tina Balaka. She is sales director of Shore West Realtors South Metro Office, former chairwoman of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. And we are talking about buying and selling homes in this very competitive market that we have in Wisconsin. Do you have an experience to share or a question for her? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is On Your Money on the Ideas Network.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all. Remember this house.
This is a housing edition of On Your Money. I'm Joy Cardine. Financial planner Kevin McKinley is off this week. He'll be back next week. We are talking with a realtor, Tina Balaka, who is the former chairwoman of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. She is with Shore West Realtors South Metro office in the Milwaukee area. And we are talking with her about this very hot, very competitive housing market that we have in Wisconsin. looking at ways to help potential buyers and advice for sellers. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org if you have a question for her or an experience to share. Let's go back to the phones, and Mike in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Mike.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
So my wife and I bought our first home about a year and a half ago. It was December 2015, and since we bought it, the city has assessed the home. They've increased the value at about $30,000. It's in a pretty popular and up-and-coming neighborhood. And so because of that, our escrow account was short of our estimated property taxes we were going to need to pay, and our mortgage has gone up about $350 since we've bought the house. So in about a year and a half, it's gone up that much. And I'm just wondering, is this something we should be looking forward to ongoing? Because it seems like a pretty steep increase. We moved there because we wanted to, like, enjoy the things to do, but, you know, another increase like that, and we probably won't be able to do any of that stuff. So
interesting. I know that, Tina, you're not necessarily on the the mortgage end of this, but that's interesting because the house is growing in value. This fairly new home buyer is paying more for escrow accounts and such. Is that something that the new home buyer should take into account, and is that something that they should expect to continue to grow?
That's actually a lot more of a $350. That's pretty substantial per month. I haven't heard that one necessarily specifically, but I do know that as the market improves, assessments do start to go up a little bit. In every area, every neighborhood, it can vary depending on what particular municipality is going to do to increase those assessments. And they do try to keep assessments. Some municipalities do it every year. Some do it every 3-4 years. So it just depends on when they do their reevaluations. And sometimes that assessment, it also depends on what the mill rate is going to be. So what that means is what's the dollar amount per thousand that the city is going to charge, which then calculates that the taxes for the year. So even though the assessment could go up, it depends on what the municipality is doing with that mill rate. If the mill rate is going down a little bit, then your payment might be relatively the same. But if they've dramatically increased the taxes and the mill rate, that can be a challenge, as Mike was saying, for his particular payment. It may, I don't know if this would be helpful or not, but perhaps to just check with, see if there's an opportunity to refinance to a lower rate, depending on what his rate is. Maybe he gets a second opinion on what he could do with his mortgage if there's an opportunity to make it a little bit more affordable if the taxes did go up that much. Just a thought.
Thanks, Mike, for the call. Okay, I'm going to congratulate, at least maybe prematurely, Chris Molina, my producer this hour, said I could mention that he and his partner have put an offer in on a house this weekend, and the buyer has countered, and Chris has countered back. Let's talk a little bit about this negotiation process here. He's waiting now for what happens next. Can this just keep on going on and on, or did, I suppose it depends on if Chris wants to say my final offer, but I mean, talk a little bit about what would benefit the seller and the buyer in this situation.
Well, negotiating is a meeting of the minds between the buyer and the seller. And negotiating back and forth is helpful so everyone feels that they could have a win-win. But there comes a point where you don't want to go too far, because then it can sometimes feel like it's a game going back and forth, and who's going to stop first. But ultimately, it's looking at what's really most important, and is there a point where you say, this is absolutely my bottom line. We want it to be, everyone wants it to be fair, and they want to feel like they're winning in that particular situation. But you don't want to get nitpicky. For example, you don't want to argue necessarily over appliances or things that, what's really important in that situation. Is it closing date that's more important because someone's lease is maybe coming to an end? And looking at
moving times, you know, what's, there are other things that are sometimes more important when it comes to time and convenience over price. So you have to really evaluate each situation, but too much negotiating can be detrimental. Also, if while you're negotiating, another buyer could come along. Until that offer is signed on the dotted line as accepted, another buyer could come along, and that seller could also start negotiating with somebody else.
Yeah. So if you're a seller, and we can take Chris out of the picture here, but if you're a seller and you, I mean, are you recommending that in this hot market that you you give an offer that is very close to asking price, if not even over?
In most situations, that's what we're seeing. Some markets are getting 99% of their list price. Some are going a little bit more. Some may be going just a little bit less. But as soon as there's multiple buyers, that's when you're seeing the pricing really start ticking up and the accelerator clauses. If it's you one-on-one with the seller, you may have a little bit of an opportunity to negotiate.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's say the seller gets an offer that's close but not quite the full asking price. Is that seller holding all the cards and just, what advice do you have for the seller in this situation?
You don't want to be greedy either in this situation. If your house had been on the market for a little while and you got your first offer, and while, yes, you might be hearing about all the competition, what's happening for your particular area and where you're at. So in some instances, is this offer meeting most of your needs? Is it really going to help you get to where you want to go next? In particular, if you are looking to buy something, you maybe really need that offer if you have a home sale contingency to be able to get to that next place. So you just have to evaluate what's important for you personally. Sometimes holding out isn't always the best thing, but you have to know, was this the first offer that came in and it's day one on the market, or is this 2 months in and this is my first offer? So depending on how long you've had that exposure can determine whether you take that now or do you wait, and looking at all of those types of aspects of it.
Let's go back to the phone. Steve in Madison is with us. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We are current buyers right now, and we are in the Madison area, and we're noticing that the housing market is incredibly competitive. Our realtor has said that we should expect to make an offer $5,000 to $10,000 over the asking if we want to even be considered. So my question is, given that things are so inflated right now and the market is so tight for a buyer, and we can expect to pay so much more than what someone is asking, should we consider what the effect of a house? So, for example, if we were to pay well over asking, should we consider the effect of that if we did buy that house and then 5, 10, 15 years down the line we go to sell that? How might the values and that the future values of that house be? Would it be more likely that value is going to drop because the current rates are so high?
Would there be that depreciation? Would you be underwater and all that down the road, Tina?
That's a really great question, and I know for many individuals who purchased before the housing bubble and the recession came, a lot of individuals lost equity. And there's been some concern, could that be happening again? And what a lot of the real estate experts are sharing is we don't have a crystal ball, but based on the household formations that we're having, there's more people coming into the housing market. There's just more people. And with more people, we need more housing. And the building and the amount of houses that we have are limited right now. So looking forward, unless we have an increase of housing, a dramatic increase in housing, we're still on a trend for a little bit more of a shortage, for the next 5 or potentially 10 years, unless we can really get some building going to keep up with the amount of individuals that are coming into the housing market. So we don't have a crystal ball, but generally speaking, if we have modest increases, that's okay. That's that's kind of normal. That's expected. But if it's going too high too fast, that could cause some concern. But overall, we don't see that we're going to have a housing bubble like we did before, because that was a different situation with the lending. It's much harder to get a mortgage now than it was before the housing bubble.
Right.
So it's it is a valid concern, but from what we're hearing from experts, because of the factors we have in place for this housing situation, I think we're safer than we were 15 years ago.
Diane in Madison is with us now. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. See, I did not realize the situation. I have accepted offer, and all contingencies are removed on my home, and it's going to close in a couple weeks, and I'm not able to find something else to move into.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
So you want to, can you, are you wondering if, what to do, if you can get out of selling the home, Diane?
Yes. Yes, I'm wondering that.
Oh.
Well, that's, you're in a tough spot, that's for sure, if you can't find a place to go. If you're, as far as the contractual part of it, whenever it comes into any kind of legal questions, that's when you'd want to consult with an attorney for sure, because they're the ones that will be able to look at your situation, your contract, and give you the advice that's going to work for you in that particular situation. Unfortunately, we give real estate advice and not legal advice, so that would be...
Right. And that I remember having an attorney helping us when we bought our home. But I also remember that there, as a buyer, that was, you know, this is an offer based on whatever financing and inspection and things like that. Could a seller say this sale is based on me finding a place?
I have seen that in an offer. Sure, I've seen that where it comes back countered that the seller needs to find suitable housing within, you know, so many days. We want to have some kind of deadline with it. So we have seen that come to play.
Yeah.
But it's tough, and that's where that cycle I mentioned early on, it's hard, because you sell a house, and now if you have a place to go, you have to be that competitive person as well to find a place. And for some sellers, they maybe have found something. Maybe they have to go to a rental temporarily. So they took advantage of being able to sell their home, getting potentially a good price, and now maybe they take a break and rent for a little bit until they can be in a position to find a house without it being too competitive for them.
Well, this has been very informative. We have lots of callers, and I had lots of questions still. We'll have to do it again maybe when the market is cooling off just slightly, Tina.
Sure, that would be great.
We have one more minute to go, though. Is there any last-minute advice you have, especially for the prospective buyers, since it's such a hot market?
Buyers, I would say be patient and don't give up. If your dream for home ownership is really going to happen, it can happen, but you just have to have some patience. And I always tell buyers, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. The right house for you will come along. Don't force it sometimes. I've seen that happen where you get so competitive and you just get caught up in it all. You don't want to get caught up. Still have a clear mind about it. What's most important for you? Does it make sense? And when it's the right house, you'll know.
Thank you so much for being with us. Tina Balaka is sales director of Shore West Realtors South Metro office, former chair of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Chris Molina for producing the program. This is On Your Money on the Ideas Network.